Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast. It's almost time to start training camps around the league. We're excited to get it rolling. I'm joined today by Kendall Gill and our Bulls insider Vincent Goodwill. And we were thinking maybe that one of the next great teams could be in Minneapolis-St. Paul. I guess not. Jimmy Butler met with head coach and president of basketball operations Tom Thibodeau this week. And apparently he told Tibbs, it's been great, it's been real, but I got to get out of here. And he supposedly gave a list of three teams he's interested in being traded to: the New York Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Los Angeles Clippers. All three of those teams coincidentally would have cap space to bring in his buddy Kyrie Irving next summer. So what do you make of all this, Kendall?
Well, I don't think it was Jimmy's intent to stay in Minnesota in the first place. I mean, when he was traded there, I was wondering why Minnesota pulled the deal, because that's not a big market team, you know, and we all know that Jimmy's played a number of years here in Chicago, loves L.A., loves New York, loves the big markets. So, you know, even though they have a nice nucleus of young players, still, I never thought that he was going to stay there in the first place.
We know that Vinny's got Jimmy on speed dial. So have you talked to JB yet?
He's texting him right now.
Obviously, we've heard rumblings throughout the year that he didn't really appreciate the work ethic of guys like Towns and Wiggins. Felt like they didn't want to win as much as he did. You think that's the genesis of this, or is it just trying to set himself up for a partnership with Kyrie down the road?
It's never just one thing. Yeah. I think initially when he probably looked at it, you know, going there, it was like, okay, these two young, talented guys, and hopefully, you know, my work ethic, my leadership can sort of sprinkle on these guys a little bit and help mature them. But, you know, I don't think it happened like that. And these guys are still young, and they're growing in their own way. And Jimmy's at a point in his career where he's approaching age 30. These guys are in their early 20s. Like, it's no one's fault, I don't believe, but they don't have the requisite experience to appreciate the moment that they're at now. You know, where you're in the Western Conference and you're trying to, you know, put a team in there to compete with Golden State and teams like that. So now I think Jimmy's looking at it and saying, okay, I'm going to be age 30. Let me go somewhere where I can get paid. And I don't think that he would have been able to get paid the way that he wanted to get paid, you know, with Wiggins getting the max and Towns lining up to get the max. And Jimmy would have been the third guy getting the max. I don't know if in that market with that team, you would have been able to pay those three guys and then be able to field a competitive team.
Well, Kendall, you went through this in your own career, right or wrong. The average fan looks at this as a player being greedy or being selfish and only worrying about his own interests.
Yeah.
Is this a bad look for Jimmy? Because he said all the right things when he was traded to Minnesota, that he was happy to play for Tibbs again and wanted to be with a hard-working group that was on the rise. Now he's looking for another situation. Will he be looked at as a quote, selfish NBA star?
I don't think he'll be looked at as that, but he did go up there and put on a good face about, you know, wanting to be a part of the long-term plan for the Timberwolves. You know, but I mean, that's politics, you know, and at the end of the day, as a professional athlete, you have to look after your best interests first. Now,
but see, you cared about that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jimmy's worried about any of that.
I don't think he's worried about that either. I think Jimmy's worried about being in Los Angeles or New York in a big market, you know, where he can where the spotlight will be on him. You know, look, I played in Minnesota. Spotlight isn't on you in Minnesota,
No. Okay?
Only when you go to those teams like the New York Knicks or those cities like the New York Knicks or the L.A. Lakers or the Chicago Bulls, a team like that, will people pay attention to you. Or now the Golden State Warriors.
And it's no coincidence, Vinny, that all three of those teams have cap space for next summer, because these rumblings about Kyrie and Jimmy wanting to play together. They started before Jimmy even left Chicago. There's got to be something there where there's smoke, there's fire, and I think there's really something there.
I think someone told you guys that Jimmy and Kyrie were going to play together, didn't I? I feel like we had this podcast like a couple
of years ago. I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? No. You remember that? All right, maybe I'll remind you.
You guys are obviously friends from their experience playing for the national team.
They're very tight.
And they want to play together. And those three teams that Jimmy singled out, they can carve out the cap space to make it happen.
Well, I think that Kyrie is going to one place. That's just my opinion. And I think that Jimmy is looking out for his best interest. If you look at, think about it this way.
Well, you didn't say where Kyrie's going. You can't leave people hanging like
that. Oh, absolutely I can. I can leave it to my own. I can leave it to
the
own
your friend Sherrod Blakely said that Knicks are going hard after him.
And I won't quibble with Sherrod Blakely. But what I will say is, and not in any defense of Jimmy, this is just the fact of the NBA. He was drafted by the Bulls. He wanted to stay with the Bulls. They traded him. Mm-hmm. They traded him to a place that he didn't pick. I mean, it was a familiar person, but he didn't pick it. Right. So now this is going to be the first time in his career where he actually has, you know, the decision-making power. Mm-hmm. So 9 years in, or how many years it'll be, you know, usually guys wind up making a decision 7 years in. They wind up switching teams. He's almost had to wait an extended period of time because of the contracts.
Well,
and
he could have left
else.
The Bulls. He's a free agent.
He's restricted free agent. So he couldn't have left the Bulls. They were not going to let him go. Even if a team came with a max offer sheet, the Bulls were going to match it. So it's nothing wrong with that, but let's just keep it in, you know, the proper perspective. Like, he didn't choose Minnesota.
No.
He wanted to stay in Chicago. He wanted to be the, you know, $200 million man here. The Bulls thought otherwise, and that's why they traded him more than any other reason was financial. So now he's going to pick a place that he wants to go to so he can make sure that he's properly compensated and appreciated. Because, look, you know like I know it, Kendall. When you play for Tom Thibodeau, there's a shelf life on your knees.
There is. I mean, but listen. I would love to play for Tom Thibodeau. Because
would your knees love to play for Tom Thibodeau?
Oh, yeah. My knees could hold up. But the thing is that you get minutes playing for Tom Thibodeau. You know each and every night that you're going to be on the floor from 36, 38, 40 minutes a game. As a player, I would love to be in that situation because the more minutes you get, the more you can perform, your stats go up. You become more valuable. Now, I don't know whether he's looking at it like that or not, but listen, the guy's now a four-time All-Star, am I correct? Four-time All-Star. He can sort of command his minutes wherever he goes now.
Well, what does this do for Tibbs now? Obviously, he came in there. He was given both jobs, president of basketball operations and head coach. The owner is already not real happy with that situation, feeling like maybe he shouldn't have given both of those jobs to Tibbs. Tibbs trying to recreate his Chicago Bulls teams in Minneapolis, bringing in, you know, Derek and Taj. You know, also bringing in Luol Deng. So it's not working, clearly. What's next for Tibbs? You think Tibbs' job is in big jeopardy now?
I don't think his job is in big jeopardy right now. I think that you got to give him another maybe 2 years before we can another year before you can talk about that. I mean, listen, as much as people say that Derrick Rose is done and everything, I thought he came in and he had a great playoff for them. I don't think that Derrick Rose will be coming off of the bench this year. I think that he'll be starting for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I think that
if they trade Jimmy, they probably don't make the playoffs in the West.
This is a problem. Exactly. which is why I would be trying to keep Jimmy as much as possible. I mean, he's only said, listen, I want to be traded. You don't have to trade him right now.
But Tibbs have an option because if Jimmy walks in a year, he's even worse.
Well, see, my thing is always, whenever something comes public, to me, it's usually steps before that happens. I'm wondering, and this is with no inside knowledge, that maybe Jimmy Butler has already said, hey, get me out of here. And Tibbs is like, no, I'm not trading you. I think too much or you think the world. I'm not going to trade you. So now all of a sudden it becomes public right before training camp. Usually when things like this happen, it's a last resort because most guys want these things to be kept private. So when it comes public, I think, for me, just from the outside looking in, KG, I would think that this is something that maybe he's been angling for a long period of time, and now this is the last resort.
Okay.
A human standpoint. This is no inside knowledge sources, none of that type of stuff. If it was, I would have reported it. But I'm saying it from a human standpoint, from as being a reporter and knowing that it getting out is usually the last resort.
That's possible, yes. However, I believe that if the Timberwolves get off to a good start, Jimmy's included in this lineup. They have a lineup that competes. And you answer this question because you know Jimmy better than us. Does Jimmy change his mind about going
Jimmy
elsewhere?
Jimmy doesn't change his mind about anything. Once his mind is made up.
He wants the bright lights and all the money.
Once his mind is made up, his mind is made up.
Well, that would be bad because you know what? What if they can put together a team that can contend?
But they can't.
Well, you don't know that yet. You don't know that yet.
And here's the thing.
You got two young players that still haven't matured yet. What if those guys come back and show maturity that they didn't show last year in the playoffs? Jimmy continues to progress the way that he's progressed. You get 80% of what Derrick Rose used to be. Then you might be able to contend.
Kendall, you're saying a lot of ifs. You're saying a lot of maybes. We got to deal in reality.
And the West is loaded.
Yes. It is loaded. It is loaded. But why do you want to go to the Clippers? Why do you want to go to Brooklyn?
Put it like this. If I'm not going to win, at least let me be somewhere where there's nice weather, L.A. If I'm not going to win, at least let me be somewhere where there's a big market as a representative for Jordan Brand, Brooklyn. And Brooklyn is a young team that has confidence in the front office. They haven't had draft picks, but they've made the right moves. Tibbs is a coach first and an executive second. He should not have been handed that job in the first place. And you're starting to see the model of the coach president go away. And I think he's going to be the next guy to sort of wind up having one title and one title only. So I don't think it's a black mark on Minnesota. It's just a matter of timing. Kendall, you ever dated a woman and she might have been too old for you, a little too young for you? You know what?
Here it goes. Love doctor. Right?
No, I'm just saying. you another dated a woman, say, you know what? This was a different time, a different place in my life. This could work.
No.
You've never.
No.
You didn't realize that when that woman broke up with you, you was on the other side of that.
First of all, nobody's ever broken up with me, okay? That may be your experience, but not mine.
I wasn't even trying to go there. I was just.
You said it. What are you talking about?
What about Halle Berry? Did she break up with you?
No, I just didn't pursue her. I had the chance, but I didn't do it.
Whether you're on the go or stuck at work late, don't miss a second of your Chicago Bulls. All NBC Sports Chicago games, including pre- and post-games, can be live-streamed on the NBC Sports app. Wherever you are, you're there.
Well, I guess we're desperately in need of a reset here on the Bulls Talk podcast. Got off the rails a little bit. I'm Mark Schanowski, joined by Kendall Gill and Vinny Goodwill. Well, last we heard from you, you were talking about you just couldn't quite get it done.
Couldn't close a deal with Halle Berry. Just got weak in the knees, got intimidated. First time I was ever speechless, Mark.
Yeah.
And you know it's hard to shut me up.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was quite an awesome moment that I'll never forget.
Let's get back to the whole Jimmy Butler scenario. What do you think they're thinking in the Bulls' offices right now? Garn Pack's got a big smile on their faces. I mean, Lauri Markkanen looks like he could potentially be a future All-Star, and you also got your starting backcourt in Dunn and LaVine in the deal.
Yeah, I don't think that they're really paying too much attention to it. I think that the Bulls are focused and set on what they want to do. Like they said, when they made the trade, they picked a direction. And once they pick that direction, nothing else matters. So I really like what they've done over the summer, especially with the draft of Hutchinson and Wendell Carter. So, you know, I think that the Bulls are headed in the right direction, and they're really not focused on the Jimmy Butler scenario.
Was Butler a problem in the Bulls' locker room, Vinny?
I mean, this depends on what you mean by problem. Like,
how did he interact with his teammates? Was there a good relationship?
I think it depended on if you worked hard. If you look as like guys like Taj Gibson, you know, some of the other guys, Doug McDermott, some of the veterans, Pau Gasol, I don't think they had a problem with him. You know, you talk about some of the younger guys who couldn't live up to the expectations, who maybe didn't work as hard, who had, you know, sometimes you might have had a sliding scale of expectations with the head coach and the franchise. Yeah, it was probably going to be something there. Jimmy respects one thing. He respects hard work because that's how he got to where he got to. And sometimes that can sort of create a skewed view of how you perceive everybody else is supposed to work. So, yeah, I think there's been some issues. But if you looked at, you know, how he looks at Rajon Rondo, how he looks at Dwayne Wade, he still admires those guys. Him and Dwayne Wade are tight, you know, to this day. So, yeah, but I don't look at a guy having problems in the locker room as necessarily a bad thing, you know, all the time. Sometimes conflict is good.
Did Jimmy isolate himself from his teammates? Because there were reports that he was dressing on his own, he wasn't really with the guys. I mean, did the guys feel like they didn't really have a relationship with him because he felt like he was that much better than them?
I think it depends on you ask each guy because, relationships are personal. It's not like I'm not talking to one, two, three guys. It's usually me and this guy have a relationship, me and this guy don't. Now, the stuff about the locker room, not changing the locker room, that might have happened the season that I was coming to Chicago, but I've never seen him not get dressed in front of everybody. You know, all that, to me, all that type of stuff is a lot of just window dressing. You know, if you're winning, it makes a lot of sense. You know, no matter what the methods are. If you're not winning, then of course everybody's going to have something to say, the conflicts, the this and that. But Kendall, you can tell from being on the team your entire career, mm-hmm. there's no such thing as kumbaya. Like, everybody has their own quirks and everything else.
Yeah, they do, and there's different cliques on the team. And let me tell you, NBA teams, and I've never heard anybody say this before, but NBA teams, it's like being in a freaking beauty shop. Guys are all talking. Mm-hmm. This guy's talking about that guy. The coach is talking. I mean, that's the way it is. It's a soap opera on each and every team. So,
13 independent corporations, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, 13 independent corporations. But like Kevin McHale told me one time, a lot of Boston Celtics didn't like each other. You know, back then, I think they had 13, 14 guys on the team. He said, and at the end of the game, there was 13 taxi cabs headed in 13 different directions. So as long as you can get it together on the court, it really doesn't matter what happens inside the locker room.
Hey, you know what? I got a lunch bet with Vinnie Goodwill about the Bulls win total for this year. I'm going over 30. He's going under. Who do you think is going to win that?
You are.
Yeah. He said 35.
No, the bet was 30.
Okay. Sure, yeah.
Bet was 30?
Yeah.
Wow, how did you fall for that one, Vince? At least make them go to 35. You know that this team is three games better than they were last year.
Do I know that? Look,
how would you shake on that bet?
I think that this season will have some very entertaining and unexpected twists and turns.
Okay. I'm going.
Sounds like a trailer for a movie.
Right. Well, I'm willing to bet you a lunch date right now that they go over 35.
Oh, heck no. I'll take that.
Bet.
We got another bet.
Right, I'm going
another
to Chicago.
We're
going to
be dining well.
We going sizzler.
Okay. 35. This team is a lot better than you think, man.
Hey, what's the last week like for a player before training camp opens? Are you working hard, or are you just like...
It's horrible because the summer is over, yeah. And you know you got that long, grueling two-week training camp coming up, or two-a-days. Nobody likes it, but, you know... If you have prepared yourself and stayed in shape up until now, it won't be a problem. But, you know, summertime, you have fun in the summertime as a pro athlete, and you don't want that to end. You know the last week, okay, it's coming to an end. I'm shipping my cars to wherever I'm going. I have to change my whole frame of mind. So, you know, this is the last week. This is your last hurrah, so you better enjoy it.
Kendall, tell me this. Mm-hmm. On this team, since this team is more than so many games, you know, better than they were last year, where's the actual, like, when you have an offense – you know, it has to be like blood flow and movement and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Who's going to move without the ball?
Well, they have to learn how to move without the ball. I think it'll be Lauri Markkanen, actually, because I think that Zach LaVine is ball dominant. Chris Dunn is ball dominant. Jabari Parker, when he gets the basketball, it probably will not come out of his hands. So it has to be Lauri. And actually, it could be to Lauri's advantage because he's an athletic seven-footer. Not too many seven-footers move around like he does.
That's my biggest question about the talent to fit all this other type of stuff, like just practically. How's the offense going to be structured? I think Zach LaVine's going to be doing a lot of running for free, as I like to call it. He's going to have to be the Klay Thompson type of guy to sort of create and facilitate without the ball, because everybody's going to be clapping, waiting for the ball. And I don't see how that can work in the construct of a modern NBA offense.
Well, also, too, Zach LaVine is going to be handling the basketball a lot, too. Let's not forget that he played point guard for a season in Minnesota.
So that means Chris Dunn, who's a 32% three-point shooter, is going to be on the wing. And if I'm a help defender, I'm letting Chris Dunn take that shot all day.
You may have to until Chris Dunn proves he can take the shot.
Chris Dunn's probably on the bench if Zach LaVine's handling the ball.
Yeah.
You never know. Like this
I think that's where Valentine comes in, because he's improved his 3-point shooting drastically. Why not? And that's a big backcourt if you have Zach LaVine and Valentine back there.
Who's going to defend?
I think Zach LaVine is going to really improve his defense. One reason is because I'm going to tutor him.
You're going to tutor him?
Already reached out.
All right, you heard it here first.
Heard it here first. I guarantee you he'll be a better defender.
It's like having having Stevie Wonder teach you how to drive.
So what? So you're saying I couldn't play D? I only own the steals record, bro.
That's right.
You know, I only
Allen Iverson led the league. Allen Iverson led the league in steals, and we call him a defender.
I was the only guy that they say, Kendall, that's the toughest guy. You got to guard him each and every night.
Well, Zach was pretty good on the ball. It's like
pretty good on the ball.
Off the ball, he would have tendency.
And I wasn't talking about Zach. I was more so talking about Denzel. Like, you can't have Denzel be your point guard on the defensive end because he'll get torched.
No, well, Zach LaVine, who's the most athletic, has to be on the point guard. You know, but
I think Zach on the ball is fine. I think Zach's problems defensively come off the ball. My thing is, how many guys can you have on the floor that are a defensive problem? It's almost like, okay, if you spring one leak, you know, another one creates. You know what I'm saying? Cool. Like, oh, we don't have enough shooting on the floor. And now you bring your best shooting outfit out there, and now that lineup can't defend.
Well, let me tell you how that works. In that scenario, you have to have a guy that's a good defender behind you. I had Alonzo Mourning. I was still a good defender, but I was allowed to cheat a lot because I knew Alonzo was behind me, okay? I think that Wendell Carter has a lot of those traits. Robin Lopez still, I believe, is a good defender back there. So if you have those two guys anchoring your defense, then you can live with a Denzel Valentine out there with some defensive deficiencies.
Talked about money and contracts always play into the NBA landscape. Vinny, anything new on Bobby Portis? The Bulls can sign him to an extension before opening night. The last we talked, his camp was looking for some pretty high numbers. Is that still the case, or
I'm sure nothing has changed, and I'm sure we know the Bulls like to play hardball, you know, or not hardball. They like to, you know, because they'll say that I'm being negative about them. So I think they like to have firm offers that are holding.
Well, we know how they look at the whole restricted free agent landscape. If you're going to take the security of a long term deal, the Bulls' position is you should give something back on the dollars end.
Kendall, you give him money back?
No. Not
restricted free agency it is.
I'm not giving any money whatsoever.
No, I think it's a cure. Like, they have until the end of October to make some type of decision.
Are they still seeking $16 million a year?
That's the scuttle, right? We've heard scuttle around that,
because that would ruin your vaunted flexibility. Cap flexibility if you give a reserve.
Flexibility
player
is only worth anything if you know what you're doing with it.
So, Vinny, what's a number that they can both agree on where you think
that's a great thing? If that's the case, Kendall, I'm his agent. I'm taking 5% if it comes down to that. But, like, I've said this as a writer, I never get into the business of counting someone's money. I think that's a very, very dangerous game because I don't want anyone counting mine. But I will say this. If the Bulls and Bobby Portis don't come to an agreement, there's a lot of teams that will say, you know what? Yeah. We'll pay you.
Yeah.
And they'll start calling the Bulls. So do you lock Bobby Portis up to a deal that's worth a little bit more than what you're willing to pay just to curtail some of that other stuff? Or do you look at it and say, I got Wendell Carter, I got Lauri Markkanen, and where does Bobby Portis fit in there? It all depends on how the front office looks at it.
And you have to decide if Jabari Parker's option will be picked up for a year or two. You could always slide him back to the four if Bobby left.
That is true. So you do have a lot of options. So if you're the Bulls, you just sit and wait.
Yeah.
Sitting and waiting.
Before we get out of here, a couple of former Bulls were in the news this week, both of them getting front office positions. Let's start with Elton Brand, named the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers. We've all met Elton, classy guy. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget when he got traded to the Clippers, 2 years in his NBA career. Mm-hmm. A lot of writers wanted to get his reaction to being traded on draft night for the rights to Tyson Chandler. And he goes, well, let me swing by the Berto Center at the time, and I'll just talk to you guys. Mm. Can you imagine that a guy got traded that night, and he wanted to go out of his way to make reporters' jobs easier?
Right.
I think that was the only time I've ever seen that in my career. But Elton has quickly impressed the 76ers organization with his ability to handle that front office position. You know, that team is pretty well in shape in terms of what they want to do with their young guys. I think what they're trying to do is make that one over-the-top addition with cap space that can maybe elevate them from being – you know, a semi-contender to a team that can legitimately win a championship.
Yeah, and Elton is the right guy for the job. Elton has displayed the ability to know basketball since he came into the league. I mean, you know, as a number one pick, and also the Rookie of the Year, I believe.
Mm-hmm. He was co-Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, co-Rookie of the Year. And he's always been that way, always been a guy with a high basketball IQ, knowledgeable, and has served and paid his dues to become a front office office executive. So very happy for him. I think he'll do a great job in, for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Pretty impressive that they took a guy with so little experience on a team that's planning some big things in the future.
Well, I mean, to be funny about it, guys, this is sort of the end of Twittergate, right? So they,
so this is true. This,
I mean, to some degree, when you have Brett Brown, who's the head coach, spearheading the search, he had to find someone that he was going to be comfortable with.
And we're talking about the Brian Colangelo dismissal.
Yeah, yeah, Brian Colangelo and his wife and all that type of stuff or whatever. And Brett Brown, who the head coach, who's the head coach and was elevated to president of basketball operations, he was sort of being the point guy for the search. Mm-hmm. So if it's hiring someone internally, it's clearly someone you know, someone you trust, as opposed to bringing someone from the outside looking in who may have aspirations of his own. And not to say that he's under Elton Brand will be under Brett Brown's thumb, but it will be a working relationship as opposed to Elton Brand sort of dictating things to his head coach. Like,
and Brett Brown was the interim GM, so he was handling the draft and their free agency pursuits, you know, during the offseason, so he'll have a big voice in personnel as well. The other former Bull who was just had a cup of coffee here was Brent Berry, who signed on as a free agent the year after the dynasty. I'll never forget, he said that if Tim Floyd's crazy enough to take this job, I'm crazy enough to play for him. Well, he played for 1 year, then they traded him to Seattle for over-the-hill Hersey Hawkins, but that was a whole other story.
It's a lot of former guys have come through Chicago in the post-Jordan era, huh?
Yeah, Brent Berry, great with the media, always has a story to tell. Obviously, going to San Antonio, pretty good situation to walk into for him.
Well, you know, he played in that Spurs system. Mm-hmm. You know, he won two championships there. I think it was 05 and 07. And I think the way things ended there was kind of weird with a situation there with a teammate. And now I don't think that teammate is there anymore. So they always like to bring people in who are very aware of how they do things. And Brent Berry, with you on TV, you know, in the broadcast booth, always very smart, always very astute, you know, communicates well. So it's not a shock to see him make that transition. And you know, clearly he's very smart. So you're curious to see exactly how long he's there before maybe he takes another step and elevates himself.
And a white guy who won the slam dunk title was warm up on.
Yeah, but he can really jump. Yeah. So that
means the Michael Jordan free throw line contest thing, that's overrated, right? If Brent Berry can jump from the free throw line, then gosh darn it, man, that makes Mike look kind of pedestrian.
Yeah, the white man can't jump thing doesn't apply to him, to Brent Berry. So.
Did he ever dunk on you?
No, man, never. I never got dunked on by guards, ever. Except for Michael, that one time.
I forgot about that. If you had held that post for another half a second,
I was going to say,
roll with that beautiful bean footage.
I forgot about that, man.
Well, it's great. You know, in both of our segments there on Bulls Talk, we knew exactly when it was time to bring it to a close. So, Kendall and Vinny, great job as always. Media Day coming up at the Advocate Center on Monday afternoon. We will have complete coverage at NBC Sports Chicago. We'll be streaming all the festivities. You can also catch us on Facebook Live. So we look forward to talking to you again on Monday.
No, I put Michael on a poster too. I'm going to show you right now.